C4. Number 3B.
One can see why the Bible and the textbook speak so much about trust in God. We have to have trust in God, but what is God? God is the divine system of reference. So we have to see that divine system of reference as being is always being, and that all the rest is not being, has no life in itself, has no intelligence itself, has no power in itself, has no law in itself, has no action in itself, has no impact in itself. And if something in you says, what do you say? Yes, that error has power. It works on me. It gives me all the hell it can give me. I say, yes, but who has given that power to that hell? Only we. The power that evil has is the power we give it to him. The law that evil seems to have is the law we give it to him. The prophecy we make about evil is our prophecy which we make, not evil itself. We build up a world of hell. Out of itself, evil has not a single attribute, not a single quality. It has only that what we attribute to evil. So don't be afraid of evil. It can't do anything. It has only that what we fear it may have. That's why I say it needs courage. Because it needs that courage of trust. That if we understand being, that being operates, it has a calculus, it operates as being, and not as not being, and it operates as being, and because it has those four levels, it operates as being in the divine, and in the absolute, and in the human, and in the material, and in hell. It operates everywhere as being. So, really what one has to see is to be able to drop completely any evaluation of the material universe. Not to give to that whole problem and to the whole world and to evil anything. To give no power to it, no law to it, no future to it, no continuation to it, no action to it. Just to give no substance to it, no identity to it. Don't name it. It has no name, has no identity. Don't give anything to it. No power of demonstration, no life to it, no truth to it, no fear. Just don't give anything to evil. Give all your heart to the capitalized terms. Then we have started right. Then we have started from the divine principle. Then from there you will see that the divine mind is its own interpreter. Then you begin to interpret being from that divine system of reference. And you don't look anymore at the problem, you don't look anymore at evil, you only know that that divine being has a calculus, has a Christ, and begins to work on that problem and begins to overturn and to overturn and to overturn and to overturn and still to overturn until the right idea manifests itself in all its purity, in all its clarity. But you can see, in order to do that, you have to stick to your divine system of reference. The moment you go away from that divine system of reference, you pollute the whole treatment. So never begin to argue in your treatment with error. Leave it alone. But stick to your categories. When you do that, you have to use your one value logic. You have to stay with that one value that has no opposite, that has no suggestion of the opposite, and if a suggestion of the opposite comes up, you can see it's nothingness instead of a value. It's nothingness, it's unreality, it's elusiveness. And so try to stick with the one value of the capitalized terms. Now, you are away from home for a whole week. You could make an experiment. You could say, why don't I take that time and stick from morning to night as an experiment once only with the one value of the capitalized terms? And already after an hour, and certainly after half a day, and certainly after a week, you would feel a completely new creature. You know, in earlier times, they forced people to stay, really, with their theory. The monks, they had to go into their cloister, and into their little rooms, and just had to do what they were told to do as a divine rule. Unfortunately, we don't do that. We go into a class and listen for an hour, and then we go out, and then starts yakety, yakety, yakety. And it's all yakety from the human system of reference. And we start questioning things all from the human system of reference. We don't stay with that one value logic. So we climb up for an hour, and go down for 2 hours, climb up for another hour, and go down to... It would be wonderful if we could make, so to say, a gentleman agreement to stay at least as when we are together and where we know each other and where we understand each other, to stay with the system of reference for a whole week and culture that, and that would do the trick. See, soul is balanced. It doesn't come and go. It doesn't allow to climb up to the mount of vision and then let it go. It says, stay. Stay on the housetop. Don't go any more down, Jesus said. When you're on the housetop, never go down again. Stay on that mountaintop, and from there you can look down, but never go down. You can look down. You can look at the world, and what you see is what? Not the world. You see the system of reference. You see the ideas of the capitalized terms. You see a new earth and a new heaven, and the sea is no more. Air is no more. That would be really what I once would like to see happen in one of the summer schools, that we are, so to say, in a cloister. That we would stay with our vision, not only during the class, but after the class, in the long evenings, and say, what does it mean? And then it would have a terrific impact on us and on the world. A terrific impact. Because there is nothing more powerful than idea. There is nothing more powerful than quiet consciousness. Yakety yakety about Christian Science doesn't do much. And yakety yakety about the human system of reference does even less. But that terrific balance of quietude with staying with the capitalized term is terrific power. But it needs courage. It's courage because the suggestion is that we leave error alone. See, that's the question. That we leave error alone and leave it to work the way it wants to work. And this is not true. See, that is only true for the mystics. Because the mystics stay with the undifferentiated whole, leaves error alone, and error can smolder and break out whenever it wants. Whereas if we stay with the system, that system covers every aspect of being, right down to the aspect of the claims of error. And so we do not leave error alone. On the contrary, it's the only way how to handle error, namely to stay with the divine system of reference, and not to battle with error, and not to fight error. That's metaphysics, to fight error. Science let the idea work. And do we have that trust? Do we have that trust to stay and to stick with the vision alone and know that the idea will do the trick? That the idea will do two things. positively, it will open up new vision. And second, it will handle the claim of error by itself. In its own way, will choose its own channels, will choose its own time, will choose its own symbols, and it will do it just that way the idea wants to do it and not the way we want to do it. And that needs courage. That needs that trust. And so the question is, shall I be consistent? Consistent, therefore, in what? And I come to the next subject, namely, to deduce from the Infinite One according to the categories of being. This is my big statement, my big problem. To go out from the Infinite One, stay with the Infinite One, and deduce from the Infinite One the great categories of being, and therefore be conscious along the flow of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, to stay with the flow of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, to stay with the flow of that infinite translation from science to divine science, to absolute Christian science, and to Christian science, where the problem is handled. So we have to go out from the Infinite One in Christian science, from the one principle. Can you see the simplicity of science? The human mind that science is complicated. The divine sense in us shows that with every step forward, science becomes simpler and simpler. Here you have the simplicity of the deductive method to deduct and reason from one principle. Is that very difficult to have just one? That's not difficult. That's not complex. That's not complicated. It's very simple to have a one and to reason from the Infinite One. Then you branch out. You branch out to the categories. But one can see that by branching out, we have to use, therefore, not human reasoning, but really the spiritual language, the language of spirit. To be aware of those tones and the tonality of mind, the tonality of spirit, the tonality of soul, the tonality of principle and life and truth and love, and only that language of spirit, which has nothing to do with the English language. Though as a means of communication it needs the English language, just as it uses all the other languages, it is still the language of spirit which we speak, and to which we listen, and on which we contemplate. So when you are alone at home and the quiet hours, you speak the language of spirit, the tone of mind, the tones of spirit. The tone, it's a language of spiritual tonality, the way we have been exercising it over the last week when we did that. Yeah. What do we actually see when we go out from the Infinite One? And so I take that great statement of Mrs. Eddy and contemplate it for a few moments, where she shows that we go out from the Infinite One. In Christian science comes one principle and its infinite idea. Can you see? She doesn't say, and its infinite ideas. She says its infinite idea. If she had said, come from the Infinite One, comes one principle and its infinite ideas, we would reason the way Christian science scientists were reasoning from Kimball's time onward for the last 70 years. He was reasoning from the divine principle along ideas. And you can see now that that is the atomistic reasoning, ideas. Here an idea, there an idea, other ideas, heaping ideas on ideas, until we have a whole hill of ideas. But Mrs. Ellis says, no. From the infinite one comes an infinite idea in the singular, meaning that really principle has an infinite idea, an infinite purpose, an infinite aim, an infinite conception. And that infinite conception is a principle conception. It's really the system of that principle. That's the idea of that principle, the structure of that principle, the system of reference of that principle. That's principle's idea. For principle to be principle, and to have the right to call itself principle, it must have the idea of principle. And the idea of principle is that it has a science, that it has a structure, that it has a system, that system has categories, and that these categories have law. That's the idea of a principle. If a principle doesn't have that, it's no more a principle. That's the inner nature of a principle. That it has science, expresses itself as science. That science is only science if it has system and laws. And that system is only the basis of the restructuring of the system into structures. So that's the idea of principle. They are not ideas of principle. Did I put that right? That principle couldn't be principle, wouldn't have the right to be called principle. What would be principle if it wouldn't incorporate that which is the idea of a principle, namely a science, system, laws, structure, categories? That's the main point. So, principle has that infinite idea. And so Mrs. Eddy goes on and says, and with this infinitude come spiritual rules, laws. You can see that she brings that science of principle further down to rules and laws in the plural, showing, so to say, its infinite diversification of that system, showing that system has infinite laws. And we have been considering, two years ago, those many laws. We could see how to define laws and the various laws, how they apply specifically. And then she goes on. This is, I think, the point which we have to see clearly. I quote it again, from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one principle, then its infinite idea. And with this infinitude come spiritual rules, now in the plural, laws, plural, and their demonstration. Not our demonstrations. The metaphysician says, and our demonstrations, because the metaphysician believes that only when he is thinking about the problem that the problem is going to be solved. That's what the metaphysician does. He goes and sits down and begins to meditate and give a treatment, and his thoughts about the truth and his truth thoughts are going to heal or to correct the situation. So that's metaphysics. That's not science. In science, it is the laws and rules bring the demonstration, and their demonstration. Can you see what I said? It needs that courage, or it needs that trust, to see that when we start out from a principle and see the idea of that principle with its structures, with its rules and laws, that we let that operate as demonstration, and that we are not going to demonstrate them. We jolly well are not going to demonstrate them. If we are going to demonstrate them, we pollute them. We use them as a servant. We use God, the divine principle, and its whole system as our servant, which we can use the way we like to use it. We are the servant. We are used by the divine principle. The divine principle is the master. And it jolly well is going to demonstrate that what the principle wants to demonstrate. And that's the idea of principle. And not our concept. We have that great difference between demonstrating our concept and seeing that principle demonstrates itself as what it is, that it demonstrates the idea of principle. The idea, that which principle has in view, that is what principle wants to demonstrate. And so we have to have that courage, see, to let it demonstrate even if we don't like it. And mostly the principle demonstrates ideas which we do not like. And it demonstrates it in that way which we do not like. Because the divine has another plan than the human, has other values than the human. And the only thing is to give in. To give in and let thy will be done, not mine. That takes courage. The man in us, the he-man in us, he says, I jolly well know what should be done. I know what is right. I know how it should work out. And I'm jolly well going to stick to it until it works out the way I see it is right. And the woman in us says, thy will be done. She's willing to bend herself and to let the idea use us the way the idea wants to use us. And the way the idea wants to use us is about a million times bigger in value, in import, than our concept of the divine idea. Therefore, we never lose anything by letting the idea operate. But my boy, it needs something to let that happen. It seems that the whole human within us wants to obstruct it, to go against it. And finally, the human in us says, I can't make the demonstration. I can't demonstrate Christian Science. I never had the demonstration. Because it was not seeing what the idea wanted to demonstrate. When we want to demonstrate something that the idea does not want to demonstrate, we never make our demonstration. Never. And then we say, science doesn't work. Seeing that we didn't let ourselves be used. But if we let ourselves be used, then jolly well, we have the divine principle operating as an infinite idea, and that idea operating and demonstrating itself the way it wants to demonstrate itself. Yes, so that's our standpoint.